Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We are broadcasting live today from the Columbus Arts Festival. This hour we're focusing on the art of fashion and how that's being interpreted in Columbus. If you want to check out the festival, you can go to a link on our website at wosu.org/allsides and learn more about where to go and what to do, because there is plenty to see and do here this weekend, and it'll be a beautiful weekend. WOSU booth will be here all weekend if you want to stop by and visit. We'd love to see you. I'll be out here on Sunday if you want to come out and say hi. Last year, USA Today named Columbus as an emerging, albeit unlikely, fashion hub, not just because of the likes of the limited brands, but also because of what they termed a, and I'm quoting, young entrepreneurial vibe in the Buckeye Country. Joining us now to deconstruct that vibe, that is if she agrees that there is such a thing, and I don't know, is a Columbus native, Season 5 Project Runway alum, the designer behind Anti-Label, and founder of the Alternative Fashion Mob and Alternative Fashion Week in Columbus, Kelly Martin. Welcome to the show, Kelly.
Thank you so much.
So what do you think of the vibe in Columbus?
I definitely think the vibe is booming. I mean, we have a large group of creative people in this small concentrated area. We have the design school CCAD. We have a lot of unique sub and subcultures that are all kind of collaborating together, whether it be fashion or hair and makeup or food, that really all kind of want to work together and build Columbus and keep Columbus, on the fashion map. I think a lot of people grow up here and perhaps, don't have a lot of inspiration to base their collections or fashion off of. So they kind of have to create it themselves. And that in turn makes them a little more unique and a little more creative and trying to make something out of nothing, more or less. And I think that mindset stands true to a lot of entrepreneurs and artists here in Columbus, and they kind of want to work together and keep it inclusive and just build up their community. And I think that's kind of what creates the vibe.
Yeah, you had, was it, how many designers did you have at the Alternative Fashion Week show?
This past one, we had 18 designers.
That's
locally,
good.
All locally here in Columbus.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you just founded the Alternative Fashion Mob just last year.
Yeah, I believe it was in October of 2012 is when we technically got it together. Yes,
okay.
Our first fashion
couple
week
years then.
Was June of 2013. So this
okay.
is our second one.
Gotcha. And what kind of response did you get when you did decide to do that?
To be honest, it's been a little overwhelming in a positive way. We've worked with so many different aspects of the community. Like I said, we've had pairings with food and chefs and hair and makeup stylists and all kinds of different things to kind of get people to complete that circle of what you would need in order to have a successful brand here. You know, it's not just being able to design clothes. You need the help of your community and the people around you. So,
right. It's a very multidimensional process.
It really is.
Yeah. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest right now is Kelly Martin. She's fashion designer and creator of Alternative Fashion Mob. If you have a question or comment for Kelly, maybe you know her from Project Runway Season 5. That's when I first laid eyes on her. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Keep the emails short so that we can read them on the air if you do decide to do that. It's very helpful for my associate producer, Amy Jurevich. I mentioned that the USA Today article gave some credit for the demand for clothes to the people that are attracted to Central Ohio by the likes of limited brands. Where do you think the demand is coming from? Because there has to be a demand, or who would you be creating for?
I definitely think, obviously there's a huge demand because of the larger corporations, but I think that what I started to notice when I came back to Columbus was there was this huge underground booming society of designers and artists that maybe didn't want to go to a corporate job. And you're always told in school, you got to find a job and take care of yourself. But like myself, there's a lot of people that just wanted to do their own thing. And with the internet and Etsy and eBay and all of that, it's possible to do whatever you want, wherever you want. And I think that the living wage here and, the prices of housing and things like that are definitely very attractive to people to come and make their base here if they're not even from here, or if they are, to come back. So I think that getting all of those underground creatives together, and so they're not in their own little groups, has really been the buzz. And I think that people are actually coming here. One of our designers actually came here from New York to live here, and because of that. So I think that it's really exciting what's going on.
The online market is huge.
It definitely is. You can get lost in it for sure, but I in the early stages of eBay, I basically put myself through college by selling my stuff on eBay. So you can be anywhere and make a living doing it for sure.
What about the discipline of alternative design? What does that mean?
With the alternative and the alternative fashion mob, it kind of has dual meanings. It doesn't necessarily mean alternative as in weird or different. I mean, mm-hmm. it does, but more so the alternative to the regular fashion norm. It's typically very exclusive. We wanted to draw in people that maybe aren't the best designers. They're up and coming. They might not, you know, have clothing that, you know, could be selling or walking on couture runways and things like that, but they still have a passion for it. They want to learn. We want to kind of plug in all of those different things to help them. And in addition to that, the alternative also means with our models, they're not all 6 foot tall and 100 pounds. We kind of just want to create a community of artists and fashion, and not necessarily what we would see on the runways or on TV, just what people themselves utilizing their own creativity, I guess, and not looking up to just their idols.
When it comes to the alternative fashion mob, how does it operate? Is it all volunteer? How does it work?
Well, it's myself and four others that are all part of the mob. We mm-hmm. all have different backgrounds, art teacher, marketing, a hairstylist, our social media girl who's also a teacher. But it's us five. It's all nonprofit. We could not do this without the help of the community and the volunteers. That is key. We've had just so many people that are just excited about what we're doing and excited to be a part of it. We have volunteers left and right. So it's definitely a lot of volunteer-oriented people.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513. There's a lot of noise out here. It's not as bad as it was a little while ago because they're not delivering the cans anymore. There's a really neat project going on down here this weekend. Kroger has donated thousands of cans of food. There's two design firms that are creating sculptures from the cans, unopened. And they're doing that over the course of the weekend. If you want to come down and check that out, I encourage you to do it. It's fun to see something in process like that. And when it's all over with, Kroger's donating all the cans to the Mid-Ohio Food Bank. So that's a win on so many levels. I can't even stand it, not to mention the weather. So you won't be standing in the rain or wind today, this weekend. It is beautiful out here. In fact, the sun is beating on my back. Once again, questions or comments, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is kind of a strange question because I'm asking about the future of alternative design, and it'll always be an alternative. I mean, the future, how does it unfold when it comes to alternative?
I mean, just what it means, alternative to the norm. It doesn't have to, you know, we still follow some of the same setup as, you know, New York or LA Fashion Week, but with experience of being at both of those, there was just some things that I felt could be done a little bit different, like helping each other and actually communicating with each other and inspiring each other and being a community or group or people that want to just thrive in what they do. So in my mind, that's the alternative to what you would see as a typical somewhat superficial fashion world. And the word fashion's weird anyways to me because mm-hmm. it technically means trend. And I think style kind of overrides fashion a little bit more. And style is usually brought about by someone that just is expressing themselves with who they are, not what they see.
I went online and was kind of poking around in the Project Runway archives and reading some of the remarks you had at the time. And one of them was that of the snarkiness that was on the show. And, you know, all right, it was a reality show, and we all know about what that formulaic approach is. But that was hard on you. You are more, what's the word? You want to help people. You don't want to hurt them.
Yeah, I agree. I helped a lot of people on the show. I'm sure that there's many contestants that have done the same thing.
Yeah.
But, you know,
but they don't always last that long.
No, they don't. It's funny when you see the behind the scenes. It's hard to watch now.
Is it a reflection? I'm sure. I'm sure it's been ruined for you. But is it a reflection? Is that the snarkiness that was depicted on the show sometimes, was that a reflection of what's really going on out there?
I think that it's you mean in the fashion world?
Yes, in the fashion world.
In my opinion, yes. I mean, I've had experience in many different fields of it, and that's the conclusion I kept coming to, and that's why when I came back to Columbus, I was like, look, this is what I want to do for my life, but I have to do it on my own terms. I know there's other people here that want to do it the same way, so I got to find these people, and we got to get together and just make it happen. You got to create it if it doesn't exist, and that's kind of what what we try to do with Alternate Fashion Mob.
And following you and talking with you even today, I get the idea that there's one aspect of the Project Runway thing that a lot of people go, oh, that's not real life. But that has to do with the materials that they give you to work with. And that was something you took to pretty well.
The challenges
of the materials.
I thought that I did. When I was making my first outfit, the one I won the Innovation Challenge, I realized if I don't win this, because this is what I do, make something out of nothing, then there's no hope. And, you know.
And you did.
And I did. I won, and it was against the most competitors, so I guess I'm the most innovative out of all of them. No, but it just, it was rough because aside from the reality television aspect of it, I was taken out of my comfort zone. Some of these people wanted to be movie stars and on TV. I had to dye my hair. I had to change the clothes I wore. There was a lot of things that you wouldn't expect that happened once you get there that really opened my eyes a lot more. I sometimes second-guessed myself. Well, maybe I'm just being too aggressive about this. But once I actually experienced it, I realized that's not the world I want to live in.
Uh-huh.
And it actually helped me in the long run. At first, I was so upset. I even did the show. Why did I do this?
Uh-huh.
But then I realized, you know, it's good to know now that I just want to plant my roots here and build Columbus.
We are talking about the art of fashion in Columbus. My guest right now, Kelly Martin, she's a fashion designer and creator of Alternative Fashion Mob. We'll have a link to their website on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. Coming up, we're going to hear from Suzanne Cotton. She's the chair of the fashion design program at Columbus, at the Columbus College of Art and Design. If you have a question or comment about the art of fashion in Columbus, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're broadcasting live from the Columbus Arts Festival, which gets underway. Well, it got underway about 20 minutes ago, so come on down and join us. For more information, go to the link on our website at wosu.org/allsides. We're talking about fashion as art today. Still with us is fashion designer and Alternative Fashion Mob founder Kelly Martin. Joining us now is the chair of the fashion design program at the Columbus College of Art and Design, Suzanne Cotton. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Suzanne, tell us about the demand for fashion design studies at CCAD, and I'm sure you know what it is kind of around across the country.
Yeah, well, it's really, I think, exploded in the past, you know, 10, 15 years, and I think partly, you know, when Project Runway started, I think when I went to school for fashion, everyone was like, oh, I didn't know that was a real job, even though people are all wearing clothes. People didn't really think about the fact that they're every item that somebody wears needs to be, you know, designed by somebody. So, but I think with that show, that really opened a lot of people's eyes to the industry. And, you know, they started to look at it as a, like the parents started to see that it was a viable profession. So programs have really exploded all across the country, you know, and I think our program in particular has been popular because we are located in a city that we have so many options for graduates.
Yeah, but the limited brands, for one.
You have Limited, Abercrombie & Fitch, mm-hmm. Tween, you know, even like 31 Gifts is here. There are a lot of smaller companies here. There are a lot of companies that have been started by people who started working at limited brands, you know, and then have started their own things. You know, so it gives the students a ton of opportunities.
For internships,
exactly.
And jobs afterwards,
yeah.
And that sort of thing. Do you have a mission to when you're talking to parents who are thinking about ponying up for education? That yeah, we really are going to work hard to get your kid a job.
Yeah, I think you know we really we want to look at all different opportunities for students. Not we don't want it to be a cookie cutter program where, you know, if you go here, you will get this job. We want a variety of students. But I think, you know, I always tell the parents, if your child works hard and, you know, puts the time into it, there are a ton of great opportunities out there. You know, in Columbus, in New York, you know, it's a very flexible kind of opportunity.
Kelly Martin, how did you know you wanted to be a designer?
I guess it started with Cyndi Lauper and Jenna and the Holograms when I was like seven. I was just inspired by how creative and outrageous they looked. And I got to be honest, my grandma raised me for the most part and let me wear whatever I wanted. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of options. So, again, I had to go to the thrift store and mangle things together to make it what I wanted. We didn't even have the internet to, you know, look and see. It was all mail order and stuff like that. So it was exciting. And I think that knowing that what I wanted did not exist, at least in my realm, I wanted to make it. So.
And then you knew you wanted to go to school and study it. Did anyone give you a hard time about that? Like, seriously?
Well, my principal in school told me I would amount to nothing because the way I looked to my face. So that was even more of a drive. I was a wild child, kind of. I didn't have a lot of supervision, but the light at the end of the tunnel was always fashion design. I was initially going to go to New York, and then I was offered the opportunity to go to L.A., and I realized that I would rather be in the sun. So, I had a hard time. You know, I had no money. I had to do this all basically on my own. So even my family was kind of like, how are you going to do this? You don't have any money. We don't have any money. So I was even more so determined. I was like, I will do it. I will do it on my own. And when I was 19, I moved to L.A. to go to FIDM and really never looked back. It's been fashion ever since.
And you said you helped put yourself through selling online.
Yeah, it was probably the late 90s, early 2000s when eBay was kind of in its infancy and people would buy the reconstructed band t-shirts for like $300. It was insane, but it was a good way to make a living while you were in school. So I still have loans and things like that. Sure. But yeah, that's what supported me.
Suzanne Cotton, how has the internet changed the business from where you sit?
Well, yeah, I mean, when I always tell my students when I was in school, there was not a computer on campus. So it has changed tremendously. It's given a lot of our students opportunity to kind of test out their ideas, you know, get involved in a lot of, you know, the industry worldwide and hook up with different people where that, you know, and I think that's another reason why people are comfortable being in Columbus, because it's a worldwide society anymore with the internet. You're not just dealing with people in Columbus. You could sell your goods anywhere. So you could live in Columbus, which is a great place to live, but you could be selling your stuff worldwide. And I think that's another reason why companies have moved out all across the country from New York because of that. So it's really been great.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're broadcasting live from the 2014 Columbus Arts Festival in downtown Columbus. The festival continues through Sunday, and WOSU will be here the entire time. I'll be back here on Sunday to man the booth. So if you want to drop by and say hi, we'd really appreciate it. My guests right now, Suzanne Cotton. She's chair of the fashion design program at Columbus College of Art and Design. Kelly Martin is a fashion designer and creator of the Alternative Fashion Mob. Thank you, Al. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Has computerization changed much about how art design is achieved? I mean, how fashion design is achieved? Suzanne?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, it used to be that everything was done by hand. Everything was hand-drawn. Patterns were handmade. Illustrations, technical flats, everything was hand done. Now it's predominantly done by computer. We still teach those skills because I think you need to have good drawing skills to be able to use the computer programs. But everything now, you know, from start to finish really is done by hand except for the making of the garments. And I don't think people realize how much of that hasn't changed. You know, garments that people wear are all done, made by somebody's hands. And that's
it's
the thing
hard
you
to
can't do.
It's hard to imagine sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I think until the students go into a factory and see, or until you're a designer and you go to Asia and walk into a factory and see 1,000 people making your garment, it's a real eye-opener, and you kind of appreciate how much love and effort has gone into every item.
Kelly Martin, has anything you've done been mass-produced yet?
It's not something I really
it's
intend
not one
on
of your
doing.
Goals, yeah.
I am also a little ADD, and once I make something, I'm on to the next,
sure.
But that also kind of keeps me fresh and pushes me outside my own personal box to try something new. I think if I was mass-producing it, I'd probably be sick of it before I even got to the producer. Plus, I would like to kind of keep it local, at least in the United States. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to, you know, take anything overseas. But we also, that's something that the Alternative Fashion Mob is trying to link together. There are some designers that are up and coming that really want to put their product into production. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to get all of those people together to connect so that they can go ahead and do that.
Suzanne Cotton, I'm sure it's probably true of any of the programs at CCAD, but you have artists, and they're all doing something different, and they take all different kinds of approaches. How do you meld that together in an education?
Well, I think, you know, you really do need to be aware of everybody's individual personality, and I think with CCAD, what's great is we're a small enough program that you can let the individual be the individual. I think when you get, you know, hundreds of students in a class, that becomes harder and harder. But we really strive to make everybody, since they are designers, they should be individuals, let them be creative in each class. So, you know, we always, you know, we give the students, you know, a challenge, you know, and let them kind of create the project that will suit the objectives for that challenge, you know. And so it's flexible. So you get, you know, 15 different types of projects, and, you know, critique each other, because I think that's also very important, you know, that the students are critiquing each other and we're talking about it to really push them forward.
Critiquing is a touchy subject for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Kelly Martin, what is it like for you?
Well, when I was in school, I was always critiqued because I wanted to go straight into raw edges and deconstruction. And they're like, first you got to learn the skills and then you can break the rules, which now I understand. Mm-hmm. But I actually had the opportunity to critique the senior class at CCAD last year. And I was worried because I didn't want to be Tim Gunn, but I also didn't want to be harsh, but I wanted to be fair because I think it really makes a difference. And when I look back at my teachers critiquing me, I understand why they didn't like the alternative look of it. They just wanted me to learn the actual skills before I started tearing it apart. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was one of the most fun experiences I've ever had critiquing that class, just seeing all of the unique, like she said, the unique personalities of each person and what they came up with. So it can be rough, but I think that as long as it's coming from your heart and truth, and you're not just trying to tear someone down, I think that it's a very positive thing.
People like Kelly Martin, Suzanne Cotton, what do they bring to the stage?
Well, I think, you know, you want to have, you know, it would be a very vanilla world if we only had, polo shirts and khaki shorts. And I think, you know, a lot of people love that, and that's great, and that should be offered. But, you know, that's what makes the world interesting, is to have all different types of design and different types of people. And, you know, I think more and more people want to be individuals, and that's celebrated as opposed to, you know, being put down. So the opportunities there are exciting, you know, because I think people out there want something different.
Not coincidentally, the WOSU staff here today is wearing purple polo shirts. It says WOSU Public Media, and at least one pair of khaki shorts here. So if you want to drop by and say hi, you can. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. I'm not wearing a polo shirt, though, by the way. Although it is purple, which is one of our colors. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513. The Student Fashion Show, 135th year?
Well, the fashion show...
Did I read that now, right?
We've been... The Columbus College of Art and Design has been around since then. We've had... To be honest with you, I'm not exactly sure when the fashion show started, but I did come across some archives of videos from the late 80s. So I know it's been, you know, for quite a while, and it's really over the years, you know, it's just gotten bigger and bigger and become more an event in Columbus. And you know, we really strive to, you know, the students, as it's gone along since I've been there, you know, every year we're like, you know, what can we do? You know, you guys have to top last year. So it's really motivated the students, and they're so excited about it. It's just you know, to see working with the students for so many years and to see them at the show and their work, it's always thrilling.
And that's always a senior fashion show.
It is, yeah.
Let's talk about the show as art. Kelly Martin, when you do, you know, when you do the, well, you've done two now of the Alternative Fashion Mob show.
Alternative Fashion Week.
Alternative Fashion Week, thanks. You said that there are a lot of different people that volunteer. When did you learn about everything that goes into a show?
Well, when I went to Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising, FITM, in L.A., I was lucky enough to be accepted into their advanced program, which is pretty similar to what CCAD does with their senior fashion show. Mm-hmm. They choose 12 people, and that whole year is just focused on every aspect of not only building a collection, but building the actual brand and the show. It culminated in a fashion show, a three-day fashion show, actually, at the end of the year. So it was kind of the same thing, where it starts from the sketch and the initial concept all the way through to the business aspect, to the production, to the actual runway show. So that was my first experience, I guess, with it. And since then, I had the opportunity to go to New York Fashion Week and LA Fashion Week, and kind of just, I was a dresser, I was an attendee. I just kind of got to see many different realms of the industry, and I realized I can do this, and I can do it better.
But do you like it? Do you like the show part of it?
I enjoy it. It's stressful. Part of me feels like, because I've shown at each of the fashion weeks, a part of me feels like I'm being torn in both directions, because I love giving the platform for up-and-coming designers and seeing how excited they are, and but I'm also showing, so I have to think of the designer aspect. So it starts to be rough, but the show aspect is always boom, and then it's over.
Yeah.
The build-up is a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I've worked behind the scenes at shows before. What do you teach about putting a show on, Suzanne?
Well, you know, we've been, like I said, I've been doing it for quite a few years now. And so, you know, we try to take the students through it from, you know, the beginning, if, you know, choosing the models. You know, they work on their collections over the summer before senior year. So we come back, you know, and really talking about, you know, what's going to be exciting on the runway, the differences between designing something for, you know, a sales situation and designing something for the runway is very different, you know. So we kind of, you know, talk to students about that and really making something that somebody will be forceful from, you know, 30 feet away is a lot different than hanging in a store.
Yeah.
You know, so I think there's a lot of, you know, and it's a whole year process, you know, so they're working on the garments all year and the fitting and the, you know, and then as we get to spring, you know, the training, the models, and they participate in the whole process. So, you know, it really, I think, opens their eyes, you know, and really for the first time, not that they haven't made smaller collections, but to see something that they've worked on a whole year and is successful and going through the jury show, you know, and having, we have all of our looks are juried.
Okay.
So we have 7 people from the industry come in and vote if the garments are going to be in the show or not in the show. And, you know, there's a chance that you might be completely voted out. You know, so that's a big stress, but I think that that's a real life situation, you know, that everyone needs to realize. And, you know, we want a very big variety of things, you know, so that's not what we're judging per se, but, mm-hmm. You know, the quality of the construction and, you know, it all comes together. And I think the students really learn so much from that experience.
Do you see, I guess, we were talking earlier in the program about the vibe in Columbus. Do you know what we're talking about when we mention when something like USA Today responds to that and writes about it? Do you know what they're talking about?
Well, yeah. I mean, I moved here in '93, mm-hmm. and it was a very different Columbus when I moved here. And I moved from New York, you know, so I kind of, you know, appreciate how much Columbus has changed and grown. You know, I think with the different companies, you know, we've brought so many people have kind of come out to work here and have found that it is a very nice place to live. You know, I loved New York, but it's tough. It's expensive. It's tough. It's tough to do something a little different. Whereas Columbus, you know, is a great place to live. It's a little less expensive and you can do so much. And I find now when I go back to New York, I almost feel like, you know, boy, we have better boutique stores here in Columbus than they do in New York sometimes, because in New York you have to be a major brand to be able to afford to sell.
Yeah.
We're here, you know, you can be a little different. You can offer different merchandise, you know. So I think how exciting is that? That, you know when I was in New York last time, someone came up and said, "Oh, gee, I love that, what you have on." And I'm like, "Where?" And they're like, "Where'd you get it?" I'm like, "Columbus, Ohio." And they're like, "I hear that all the time, you know." And yeah, how great is that?
My favorite shopping in New York is thrift.
Yeah.
vintage.
Yeah, vintage, you know? I mean, really, that's the most exciting. I always go to St. Mark's Place, you know? Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, I think when people come to visit, they're always amazed at, you know, the Short North Shopping, you know, all the different boutiques and everything around town. You know, so it gives people a lot of opportunities. So I have seen it. The change is amazing.
One of the things, I'm not sure whether they were doing it during season 5 on Project Runway, was the textile design, the pattern design.
Oh, not at all.
Yeah,
that would have been awesome.
That was a huge change, I thought, to the show. But it's a big change in the industry, too.
Yeah, well, and I know our students, you know, a few years ago, you know, if they want to do their own prints, they, you know, how could you do that?
Yeah.
Unless, you know, we have silk screening labs and things, but it's just not the
it's
same.
It's a big, hairy
now,
deal.
Now, you can just download your print and the company prints it off for you and sends you the fabric. And, you know, we're thinking at CCAD we're probably going to get a fabric printer. And how awesome is that for students to be able to design their own prints and make them into garments? I mean, I would say a big percentage of our students have taken advantage of this technology in their collections. And I think that's what I've seen in the past 2 years. That's the biggest excitement, you know, that you really could do something custom, you know, and individual.
Coming up, we're going to continue our conversation about fashion and design and the art of fashion. We're gonna look more closely at the production and the carbon footprint of fashion and talk with the designer who's at the festival this weekend. That's where we're at right now. We're down broadcasting live from the 2014 Columbus Arts Festival, downtown Columbus. The festival continues through Sunday. I'll be back out here on Sunday, but people will be here at WOSU at our booth here at Rich, and can't remember the other name of the street, but if you go to Civic Center Drive and Rich. So come on down and visit us. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We are broadcasting live from the Columbus Arts Festival. It's started about 45 minutes ago and continues through the weekend. For more information, go to the link on our website at wosu.org/allsides. Today, we're talking about fashion as art. Still with us is fashion designer and alternative fashion mob founder, Kelly Martin. Also, the chair of the fashion design program at the Columbus College of Art and Design, Suzanne Cotton. Joining us now is a New York State designer and one of the artists at the Columbus Arts Festival this weekend, Kathleen Tasnakis. The name of her label is Ecologic. Welcome to the show, Kathleen.
Thank you.
What constitutes an environmentally friendly garment in your mind?
Well, first of all, you want to think about how it was made. You think about the chemicals and whether how the cotton was grown, or what the chemicals were with the application of dyes, where the location of its manufacturer. There's so many variables, and I think what's really exciting right now is people are waking up to the fact that they can choose. They have a lot of power in helping the fashion industry become green. It's very evident today because you can actually purchase organic clothing in Walmart, which is 10 years ago absolutely
who knew?
Not
right.
possible. Mm-hmm. So it's something that everyone can be involved in, which is very exciting.
Yeah, I think it was considered for a long time sort of the quintessential alternative fashion. Ultimately, how big of a deal is it in the fashion industry and in how you're training fashion designers, Suzanne Cotton?
Well, I think, you know, it's become more and more popular with the students too. You know, I think they mm-hmm. bring the whole idea of the recycling, but doing it in a way, I think, you know, 25 years ago it was more, you know, edgy, you know, really doing it in a modern way and making something that's, you know, very on trend, but still reusing these garments or, you know, some aspect of that I think has become very popular. And I think, you know, being thoughtful of your materials, you know, using your materials wisely, not wasting, not wasting time, not wasting, you know, resources, mm-hmm. I think is a conversation that, you know, we all need to have. So we do bring that very much into the classroom.
Kelly Martin, it's sort of your stock and trade. That's how you put yourself through school, reusing material.
Yeah, I mean, I basically just had to reuse everything I had, whether it be an original a project that I had to do in school to tweak it and make it sellable or to dip dye it or do something to just to change the way it looked in some aspect, but still be using the same garment. Or like Suzanne said, really having a good marker for your patterns and not wasting the okay. excessive fabric, because I mean, you can, if you just start placing patterns anywhere and start cutting, you're wasting so much fabric that could be gone, or that you're wasting money, but also wasting fabric that you probably won't be able to utilize and you're going to end up throwing away.
Mm-hmm.
That's about as green as I am at this point, mm-hmm, I guess. But mm-hmm. I definitely see it being an up-and-coming trend, and there's a lot of large companies and designers that are definitely jumping on that. So,
are there designers in Columbus that you work with the alternative fashion mob that's what they're doing?
A couple in particular. One is her name is Celeste Mouth Stewart, and she is actually, for her next collection, I don't know if I should be saying this, but she's burying her fabric to get that gritty look, and she. It's very into zero waste or mm-hmm. little waste, and that's something she really focuses on. She does a lot of her dyeing with cranberries and things like that, and the outcome is to die for. I mean, it is beautiful. We also have another designer who is just starting out, and she goes to the thrift store and recycles a lot of things, but she really does make... she'll take a polo shirt and make it into a coat. I mean, it's very, like, completely opposite of what its initial use was, but it just, you can see the creativity of changing one thing to another. And sometimes that's even more difficult, in my opinion, because you have to utilize what you have, the amount of fabric you have, and make something completely different.
Kathleen Tasnakis, tell us about what you do with design.
Yes. Well, 18 years ago, I decided I really wanted to be a part of a solution for being a green designer in the fashion industry. And I was sort of doing research on what type of material I should use, and found out that used clothing was considered nothing but trash. And we were throwing out a tremendous amount of fantastic material. There was no reason that it was ending up in the landfill. On top of that, our used clothing is being shipped around the world, which again is not doing our environment any favors. And I felt like we really need to become aware, and we need to start reusing what we're discarding. When we make a product, we need to think about what can happen for its second life, its third life. So I took it upon myself to say, okay, I'm going to recycle. At the time, I was a Portland, Oregon artist. I'm going to recycle the old woolens that are coming from the city area in Portland, and started my company Ecologic. To this day, I actually hand make all of the pieces in our studio. We deconstruct. I'm now a New York artist. I actually recycle the old cashmere sweaters coming from the New York City area. I buy those garments from used clothing dealers before those clothes get shipped and sold to an international buyer. I bring them 150 miles to my studio in Troy, New York, wash them, deconstruct them by hand, hand cut my pattern pieces, and collage them together in my own in my original designs.
Let's take a look, and maybe someone can get a picture of this and post it on the Facebook page. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
you're deconstructing. Oh, you have dresses.
That's really
oh
cool.
Wow, the dress is awesome. I love this. Yeah. Really
it,
super
it makes
cool.
It
can
so
we
much
get pictures?
More unique. there's nothing like that. That's why it's so cool. Just like you said, shopping at thrifts, you never know what you're going to find.
Every piece is different.
Yeah.
And it's great because
yes.
they're so clean, you know?
Yes.
Like, I love the fact that they're so well constructed.
Thank
you.
When I started 18 years ago, people really did not even want to think about wearing something recycled. And so one of the things that I made a commitment to was to, I would prefer you to be recycled than look recycled. And
right.
It was what allowed my work to be sold all over the world. I made collections for Japanese department stores and had 150 accounts across the United
How
States.
How do you supply that? They have to accept that not every piece is going to look the same.
Absolutely. And that was what was very interesting is working with, like, you know, the retail buyers in the United States was far more complicated than, let's say, working with, you know, incredible department store in Japan.
Interesting.
The Japanese culture would say to me, well, Kathleen, we know that you're an artist and you're doing something very unique, and that's what we're buying from you. The American retailer would say, Kathleen, you see that one over there? I want you to do that 10 times for me. And it was, and of course, I would do that 10 times, creating an illusion for them that it was the same.
Okay.
So I much prefer to create every day and not necessarily spend time creating the illusion over and over again.
So you get that, Kelly Martin, right?
100%.
Oh, yeah.
There's one other, if I might.
Sure.
One of the other commitments is I'm also a zero-waste studio. And sometimes there are piles of fabric that need to be reused. This skirt is inspired by the old waistbands that came off every sweater that went through this studio.
Right.
And finally, the pile got so large, I had to design a new piece from that. So this series right here is designed
from leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Wow. That's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful stuff. You can see some of it on our website, the All Sides website, if you want to check that out. I highly recommend it. It's beautiful. You can also come down to the Arts Festival and meet Kathleen Tasnakis, owner and founder of Ecologic yourself. You were broadcasting live today from the 2014 Columbus Arts Festival. So WOSU will be down. See, I rush my words too. We'll be down here all weekend. So check us out. Come by, visit us. There are people here waiting to meet you. We're talking about fashion as art today. We've been talking about the factor of ecology in the equation. How do we, I think, Suzanne, you mentioned that they're even selling organic materials at Walmart. Oh, was it Kathleen?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the standard bearer right there. If they're selling it at Walmart, that means there must be a market for it.
We've had a huge shift just in the last 7 years. I think it was in 2007 when I really recognized that there was a paradigm shift of the customer. Instead of me telling the customer the stories of why I made the goods, people were coming to me and saying, Kathleen, oh my goodness, I love your things. I can buy it for my friend. It's chemical free. It's made in the United States. It's recycled. It's a total feel-good thing, and that's where I want to put my money. It's incredible when you start to realize, when you go to the farmers market, you're supporting your community. When you go to these boutiques in Columbus, you're supporting these artists and the creativity that surrounds you. Everybody has so much tremendous personal power, and that's how the green movement has become acceptable today, because people are getting back by taking those actions.
And it informs you as an artist what you're working with. It's giving you a message, and you're coming out with this. And I can see, though, Suzanne Cotton, the big manufacturer, is getting a load of what Kelly Martin does, what Kathleen Tasnakis does, and going, yeah, we want 150,000 of those.
Yeah.
Go out and do it.
Well, I think I've seen, even in the mass market, this whole idea of the individual much more than you used to. You know, these, you know, mass market companies are trying to figure out, hey, how can we get individual looks, and I know I've seen, like, you know, Anthropology, I was in Philly, they worked with one of the schools there, and they gave the students all denim, and they embellished it, and they were selling those individual pieces. And I think to kind of get that feeling, because they know that that's a saleable thing, and how can we get in on it? So it's almost like it's reversed, these people who are doing these individual things, now these big companies want to get in on it too.
Because true fashion starts on the street.
Yeah.
Bubble up effect.
Exactly.
And, you know, companies like Anthropology buy from artists like me. One of the very first collections that I did was an accessory collection for Anthropology. And that was a tremendous experience. It was a 400-piece order for these cashmere hats that I make.
Mm-hmm.
And I sewed every single one of them myself. And I was lucky enough to go to different shops, different Anthropology around the country to actually see them.
That's awesome. So, how do you get out to all the festivals that you do, art festivals, and still produce that quantity?
Oh, that's really interesting question. A few years ago, I spent a lot more time in the studio making for the wholesale, you know, for retailers. And I really felt a need to shift because I am an artist maker and I had no intentions of making my work overseas. So I went back to the artist market like this. What I found was I get so much inspiration dealing with the customers, seeing my fit, talking to them about their needs. And when I go home, it's like I can work double time. I am filled with a mission. My work is very focused when I'm there. So I have a rhythm that's very beneficial to me in life, and it allows me to continually produce and never get bored and always be inspired.
Kelly Martin, do you design for certain people?
Have
you ever done that?
Specific or for people in general?
I guess people in general. Is there someone you have in mind?
I don't. I kind of, for the most part, I mean, I draw my inspiration a lot, especially when I was younger, from music and people watching, number one, for sure. I kind of design what I want, and that is usually what inspires me. That's kind of what I wanted to do. I didn't want to have to design a look for a large company and have them mass produce it and then make a bunch of money off of my creativity within their standards, obviously. I do custom work, and there's some things that, you know, I'll make custom. I did some drag queen dresses and some prom dresses and things like that, but I think I have the most fun doing what I want.
What do you want? And having people discover
and
you.
And having people, you know, people tend to like it. And again, I'm all over the place. Someday it might be super fancy. The next day it might be tattered. So because I'm like variety, I guess. I think that people just kind of come to me and pick and choose what they want.
Now, it might be, I mean, people can't see it. We're talking about a visual thing here today, but it might be easy to think, oh, we're talking about deconstructing sweaters and what that might look like might be very simple, but your approach is very, very elegant.
Thank you. Thank you.
How has it changed over time?
Oh, my goodness.
When you first started that, did the styles or the designs look much different than they do today? Everyone is different, but...
Yeah, I mean, I have my signature style, I would say, you know, very much like Kelly. I mean, so there are things that I want to draw out for people. I look to the material a lot to give me inspiration, but I want... The other aspect of the design is I want something... Not necessarily, I don't really follow trend, I'd rather create trend, but I want the piece to have long life. Mm-hmm. I want it to, you know, stay in a closet, be cherished. So I take the extra time to really pay attention to the line and the fit and the construction, the quality of material, and that's sort of my gift for ensuring that it is going to be cherished.
A lot of times, I refer back to Project Runway. It's a common denominator in a way, but they talk about something every woman would want to wear. It's wearable. Kelly Martin, I mean, is that something that works with you? Do you think about that? Is something people want to wear and put on?
I don't know. I guess it could go either way, to be honest. I think what she said about the construction and the fit, I think that's the most important. And I think a lot of people just think of the overall image and don't really think about the technical skills that go into it, which really can make or break an outfit. It could be the most beautiful fabric, the most beautiful design, but if it doesn't fit right, if it doesn't lay right, if it doesn't feel good, every woman isn't going to want to wear it. And every woman is a little broad because every woman's different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there are so many different body shapes. And that's one of the things about being an artist that comes to art shows and seeing all the people and how they inspire me. I wouldn't understand all the variety of body shapes and the issues. And so that's really what informs me when I think, remember this particular group that is really desiring something, but I have to understand their body in order to make it for them. So it's a really fascinating journey. I also make things for men. I like to have a broad
range. Some of the sweaters we saw were for men. You can see some of the designs of Kathleen Tasnakis on our Facebook page if you want to check that out at All Sides with Ann Fisher. Kathleen Tasnakis, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
She is one of the artists at the Columbus Art Festival today, owner and founder of Ecologic. Also with us, Suzanne Cotton, chair of the fashion design program at Columbus College of Art and Design. Thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank
and
you.
Kelly Martin, fashion designer and creator of Alternative Fashion Mob. Kelly, thanks for joining us for the hour. Appreciate
Thank you.
It. And thanks for listening. Don't forget to stop by the WOSU booth at the Columbus Arts Festival. I, as usual, love being down here today and seeing all the folks. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.